Praise the Lord. Everybody ready to jump into this word this morning? Well, open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 11. And this is kind of an unusual type of service in that today I'm going to be talking about the vision that I believe God has given this church as we move through this year, 2017. Today is just the first part, or the first slice of the pie, if you would, of the many things I think God has laid on our heart to do. In the next few months, you're going to be hearing more about the other things. But today, we're going to concentrate on one thing. Amen? So Genesis chapter 11, and let's pray before we begin. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity that you've placed in our hands. Indeed, Father, we believe we are blessed, Lord, because we have a God that is so awesome. Father, we ask you now to take this word, Father, anoint it. Father, may it go forth with boldness. Father, may it find a place to lodge in each of our hearts, Lord, that your anointing would open us up to receive this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to try to move through this as quickly as I can because there's two parts to this service this morning. I'm a fan of the cartoon character or cartoon strip Charlie Brown. It's just always, you know, the guy who put that together was just always so clever in the way that he communicated. Sometimes I even identified with Charlie. I mean, Charlie Brown was always one of those guys that, you know, he was just saying, why me? Why does it always happen to me? So let me read this to you. In a Peanuts cartoon, Lucy demands that Linus change TV channels and then threatens him with her fist if he doesn't. What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over? Asks Linus. These five fingers, says Lucy. Individually, they are nothing, but whenever I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. What channel do you want? Asks Linus. Turning away, he looks at his fingers and says, why can't you guys get organized like that? Something to be said for organization. Amen? Something to be said for unity. So this morning, I want to take a look at two different groups of people that God gives us in the Bible. Some of the similarities that exist between the two. So in Genesis chapter 11, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. It says, now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick stone, or brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men built. The Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now, nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. This is the story of the Tower of Babel. And this morning, we're going to be kicking off a new ministry, and I'm thinking to myself, how in the world does this have anything to do with this new ministry that we're kicking off? But understand this about these people. These are all descendants of Noah and Noah's sons. Now, this is what the Bible says about them. They all spoke the same language. They used the same words. They were unified in their destination. They found this plain as they were traveling, and they said, Let's settle down here. They were unified in their destinations. They were unified in deciding on this place to settle down. They were unified in building a great city. They were unified in building this great tower that would reach up to the sky. They were unified with staying as one in one place. And folks, this is what I'll tell you. There's absolutely nothing wrong with unity. Amen? Unity is a good thing. And so we look at these people, and all of a sudden, what you see is, you see they're unified, they're unified, they're unified, they're unified. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Man, that's good. It's good stuff. We're commanded in Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Folks, this is what I'll tell you. God tells us we need to be unified. Amen? So you see, these people are unified. It also says they're settled. It says they found a place in the plain and they settled there. It's nice to have a place to settle. Now you have to understand, these folks had been up in the mountains for quite some time, and so all of a sudden they move out into the plains and they find this place to settle. You see, since the day of Noah, they had been nomads. They had been wandering from mountain range to mountain range, and as a group they may have been traveling for some 350 years since Noah. But now here's the crazy thing about this. In that 350 years, they had only traveled about 300 miles from where the ark landed. You guys know where the ark landed, right? It's right there up in the Smoky... Never mind. That's not it. So they come out of the mountains and they found this beautiful place, literally kind of a Garden of Eden made over. It was a flat land, had two flowing rivers, one on each side. It was a very fertile ground for planting crops. There was all kinds of material available to make bricks and to build their homes. No more wandering, no more tents, no more wet sleeping bags. I mean, every time they had to move from one place to the other, they had to pack up everything that they owned. It was finally a time to rest. Doesn't that feel good, just to rest? Does anybody in here have a lazy boy recliner? I used to have one, but I don't anymore. One won't fit in our living room. It's too small. Well, it's not too small. If we took the couch out, it would be big enough. But then nobody would have a place to sit but me. I don't know if that's so bad or not. Folks, here's the thing. We see these people united. I mean, unity was just all over the place, and that's good. And I will tell you this. I don't think there's really anything wrong with being settled, with being comfortable. I mean, God promised Abraham, Moses, Joshua, a land filled with milk and honey in which they could find, you know, this rest. I mean, in fact, God commands us to take time to rest. Amen? So thirdly, these people were a people who became satisfied. They were united. They were settled and they were satisfied. Everything was great. Fellowship was great. Location was great. All their needs were being met. They found a place to call home and they were happy. They were happy. How many of y'all happy? I hope you're happy. I hope your happiness doesn't depend on things, because things will let you down. You need to find your happiness in Jesus Christ. Now this morning you got to know that these people were unified. They were settled and they were satisfied. And there's nothing wrong with being satisfied. There's nothing wrong with being happy. Folks, I'll tell you, it is God's desire for His children to be content. Amen? However, now get this. They're unified, they're settled, and they're satisfied. And God looks down on them and said, we got a problem, Houston. Isn't that what he said? Or pretty much the same thing. He said they're settled in a land and they're content to stay there. And he says, so now let's go down and confuse their language and scatter them throughout all the world. And let me just tell you something. That's exactly what he did. He confused their language. That city became abandoned
The building that was being built in the center of the city, the Tower of Babel, as we call it today, that tower never got completed. It was abandoned, and everybody in the city moved out, and they became unsettled. They became ununified. Are you all there with me? So my question to you this morning is, if everything was so good, then why did God mess it up? Come on. Nothing wrong with unity. Nothing wrong with being settled. Nothing wrong with being satisfied. So why was it that God messed all this up? He came down, he said, I don't like all this unity. I don't like all this settled. I don't like all this being satisfied. Why did God mess it up? Well, folks, in order to understand why God messed it up, you got to turn back a page or so from Genesis chapter 10. You got to look back at Genesis chapter 9 and understand, or Genesis chapter 11, you got to look back at Genesis chapter 9. It says in Genesis chapter 9, verse number 1, it says, then God blessed Noah. Now, this is right after they got off the ark. God blessed Noah and his sons, and he told them, he said, be fruitful and multiply. And now listen to this. He said, fill the earth. Are y'all with me? You see, these people that were descendants of Noah and his sons, they were to populate the entire world, not just the plains below the mountains. Are y'all there with me? God needed to kind of nudge them to be obedient to his word. So now let's look at a second group of people. A second group of people is found in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I want to begin reading in verse number 42. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were, I think that should be breaking tortillas from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, I want to read another portion of Scripture. This is in Acts chapter 4, just a couple of pages forward. And this is in verse number 32. It says, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. Look at that, one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. But all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundance of grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land and houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Wow. Man, we read about the early church, and folks, let me just tell you, whenever you read about the early church, all the things come to my mind is they just had it going on. I mean, man, the early church was just doing it. They were doing it. Yes, amen. But one of the things that we look is we see some of the very same things happening with these people as we did see with the people in Genesis chapter 11. First of all, these people were united. They were united through the apostles' teaching, through fellowship, through the sharing of tortillas, and through prayer. They were united in sharing with one another. They met in the temple every day. They spoke the same spiritual language. One of joy, one of generosity. They shared the same vision. What an incredible church. They were one. Secondly, they were settled. They were settled in their own routines. They met together in one place. They shared everything they had. They worshiped together. They had meals together. They invited others to join them. And thirdly, they were satisfied. The scripture I just read in Acts chapter 4, it says, there were no needy people among them. Folks, let me tell you, whenever you don't have needs, you're pretty satisfied. Amen? I mean, has any of y'all ever ate a big meal and then just got up immediately and said, man, I'm just starving? No, you go, ooh, man, ooh, let me go lay down and take a nap. I'm satisfied. These people were satisfied. They had all that they needed. Those who owned land sold it, and they brought the money for anyone that had need. That's God's economy right there, working. It's not socialism. Anybody had excess property, they sold it, and they gave it so as to help other people's out. There were no needy people among them. I mean, folks, isn't it any wonder why people were joining up with this group? The Church of Acts is a wonderful church, amen? Man. All these folks in Genesis 11 had it going on too, yeah? And you think, okay, Pastor, what are you going to say bad about the Church of Acts? Did you know there was this guy named Saul of Tarsus that arose and he began to persecute the liver out of the church? Have you ever wondered about that? How many of you all know that God used Saul to accomplish his will for his church? You go, no way. Well, let's take a moment here. God looked upon this church and said, hey, they're united due to having the same devotion to other. They're settled in Jerusalem. They're content to stay there. And then he brought persecution on them through this guy named Saul. In Acts 8, 1 through 4, it says, Saul, one of those witnesses that agreed completely with those people who stoned Stephen to death. And all of a sudden, this great wave of persecution began sweeping over the entire church in Jerusalem. And all the believers, except the apostles, scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. Saul was going everywhere to destroy this church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. Some of them were ultimately executed. But the believers who were scattered, this is what it says in Acts chapter 4. The believers that were scattered, it says that they preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. So now why in the world would God allow persecution to come upon the early church? Why? There's nothing wrong with being united, and that's what this church was. There's nothing wrong with being settled, and that's what this church was. There's nothing wrong with being satisfied, and that's what this church was. But you remember in Genesis chapter 9, God says, I want you to go populate the whole earth. Yes? And they decided they were going to settle there in that plain. You see, as marvelous as this early church was, I will tell you this, they were disobedient to what God had called them to do. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Amen. How many of y'all know that Jerusalem is not the whole world? Folks, let me just make sure we all are on the same page here. The church was never meant to be contained by four walls. In fact, as I've said before, the very word, the very word church was never meant to be referred to as a building. Amen. You know, I just drove by the church there on 441. Folks, unless there was somebody in this building that knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you didn't drive by the church. Come on. See, early on, the church, if the church got together, basically it just meant that there was an assembly going on. An assembly of believers. It didn't make any difference where it was. It could have been in the parking lot of Piggly Wiggly. It could have been at the donut shop. It could have been there at any place. It could just happen any place. Believers get together. That's the church. Amen? A group of people that are following Jesus Christ meeting together. That's the church. That's the assembly of the church of Jesus Christ. Whenever Jesus referred to the church, he was referring to a group of people meeting together in his name. And for years, the church has been trying to get people within a building whenever it was never intended to be that. This isn't the church. We're not trying to get people into this building. We're trying to get the church to go outside this building. He wants his people to go outside the church into the world. So for too long we've been in unity, and I'm thankful that this church is a unified body of believers. I really believe that. I mean, man, there's some pastors that deal with congregations that day in and day out, all they're dealing with is problems. This one individual doesn't like that individual. One individual doesn't like that color of carpet. One individual doesn't like that. Folks, that's been something that I've been very, very fortunate to have to deal with in this 15 years almost that I've been a part of this church. I mean, man, some pastors, they get through with a deacon meeting and they come out of that deacon meeting and they feel like they've been beat up. I've never felt that way unless it went really, really late. I'm going to tell you something. In our deacon meetings, there's unity in our deacon meetings. I'm thankful for that. There's unity in this body of believers. We've been unified with one another. But you have to understand, this whole time we've been unified with one another, we've been separated from the world. For too long, we've been settled within the four walls of this building, but we've been detached from the world that's around us. It can't be just about coming to church on Sundays and coming to church on Wednesdays. It's got to be something more than that. Amen. For too long, we've been settled with our fulfillment. Man, we got a nice building. Here in a nice building across the street. I mean, yesterday we were at men's breakfast and we were kind of reminiscing at how we used to cook men's breakfast on a couple of kitchen stoves, and it was kind of difficult. But now we've got a really nice kitchen over there. A nice kitchen. Commercial refrigerator. If I get too hot, I can get in that thing. I'm not promoting that, but I'm telling you, it works. I mean, we could get satisfied here. We've got this place completely paid for. There is zero debt in this church, people. No debt whatsoever. I'm so thankful for that. Man, on Sundays, we try to have the temperature right. We try to have the lighting right. We try to have the building cleaned up. Are you ready for it? But we can be satisfied with what we have here, but yet discard the needs of the world that's around us. I mean, it's time that we as a body of believers understand this. He said to go. Go into all the earth and preach the gospel. I mean, our scripture that has kind of been the anchor point of our whole evangelism class on Wednesday night is Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. You can condense that and say, of everybody lives in the world. That's not condensing it. That's expounding on it. Of all nations, of everybody lives in the world. Okay, you get it. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Man, folks, I'm telling you, if I ever had a message this morning for this body of believers, he's telling us to go. And yes, we need unity, and yes, we need to be settled, and yes, we need to be satisfied. But folks, you got to understand this. That's not a reason to just camp out here and have church on Sundays and Wednesdays. I'm telling you, God,
He brought persecution to the early church. He confused the language of these folks here in Genesis chapter 11, and he did it because they were disobedient to what he told them to do. I'm just saying to you, everyone in this room, we have got to be a people that goes outside of this building to the community that God has strategically placed us in so as that we can preach the gospel message, the good news message to those that are lost and dying around us. Okay, hang on, man. I'm preaching. Hang on. So understand this, folks. God's calling us to go out. He's calling us out. He's calling us out of this place. Now, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 11 because there's something real curious in there that I just kind of sped through. Something real curious. So now, I'm just going to take a shot here. I'm just going to say that everybody is hearing this message this morning is saying, yes, Pastor, you nailed it, man. You nailed it. We got to go out. I see it in Genesis 11. I see it in Acts chapter 4. I see it. We got to go out. We cannot sit here any longer. That's just fat Christians just filling up on the word every day. Just eating all that greasy popcorn with chicken and tamales. We got to go out. We got to take what it is we know and take it to a world that is lost and dying. Let's just say everybody in this room say, man, Pastor, I'm with you. Oh, man, there's some people with me. Praise God. But let's go back to Genesis 11 and let's just see for a second what's embedded in this scripture that I think is just so awesome. You see, we've seen the bad part of it where God confused their languages and the city's gone, the tower's gone, people are scattered out all over the earth. Yeah, they're doing what God called them to do, but listen to what it says. Verse number one, it says, now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. Okay, the whole earth, everybody was saying the same stuff. You could understand them. Everybody was saying the same message. Amen? Are y'all there? Verse number two. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and they settled there. So they're using the same language and they settled there. Verse number six. The Lord said, behold, they are one people and they have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Now, I've made some observations in my life that have been wrong. You ever been rooting for a basketball team and you said, man, I just know they're going to do it, and at the end, you lose? Yeah? Well, if you were rooting for the team that played North Carolina last night, you're a loser, loser, loser. Anyway, I'm sorry. Just couldn't resist that. I've made some wrong observations. But you got to understand, God doesn't ever make wrong observations. Amen? He comes down and he looks at these people. Now remember, they're all talking the same language and they've settled in one place. In other words, everybody's kind of huddled up all together and this is what they're saying. They're saying, hey, let's do this. And whenever God sees what it is they're doing, he says, they're one people, they have the same language, and nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. God is saying this. He's saying, guys, they've come together in unity. They speak the same language, and anything they decide to do, they can do it. Hoo-yah. Hoo-yah. Does anybody see this besides me? Because some of y'all should be saying, hoo-yah. Okay, never mind. I'll let you. Thank you. God is telling us something so vitally important. If this church will begin to speak the same language, well, we all speak Southern here. No, we don't. We've got one person speaks English because she's the queen.
Two people. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. It's not Southern and it's not English that I'm asking y'all to speak. I'm asking us as a body of believers to come together and say the same thing. We have got to reach this community, and we are going to reach this community in Jesus Christ. We're going to see the power of God fall in our midst. Hallelujah. We're going to see the blind see. We're going to see the lame walk. We're going to see the dead raised. Amen. We all got to start saying the same thing. It can't be just pastor up here just preaching this message and saying, this is what we need, this is what we need. It's got to be this whole body of believers saying the same thing. We got to all be speaking the same language. And we got to settle. We got to settle on which way we're going. And this morning, we're going to give you a little proposal. We're going to give you a little vision, if you would, a taste of what it is that's coming. And I got to tell you, this whole body of believers has got to settle on this one thing. You go, well, Pastor, I could just never agree. You need to. I really believe this is of God. I really believe that. I wouldn't be walking in here this morning and saying to you, hey, I just want to take a shot in the dark and see if this will work. I believe God. For one thing, I'll tell you why it's God. Because whenever he first laid it on my heart, I told him, no, I'm not going to do this. This is never going to work in this community. I told him that. God said, it'll work. I said, no, it won't work. I've been here for 14 years. I know it won't work. God trumped me. He said, I've been here forever. I go, okay, good grief. He began to show me how it worked. He began to show me the methods that we need to adopt. He began to show me the directions we need to go. But folks, I got to tell you, we got to be one people speaking the same language. We got to be one people that's settled and saying, listen, I'm not just deciding this is a good idea, but I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to give my time. I'm going to give my talent. I'm going to give my energy to this mission that God has set us on. I believe that. And I will tell you this, whenever this body of believers begins to speak the same language and they begin to settle in what it is that God is calling us to do, can I just read it out of Genesis? Nothing which they propose to do will be impossible for them. You know what that means? It means God's telling us that we can get it done. I believe God is calling us outside the four walls of this building. I'm just going to tell you something. I believe there's going to be a heavy price to pay if we don't go outside the four walls of this building. No offense to anybody who has any gray hair, but this church will become a gray-haired church. And the membership, one by one, will begin to die off until this church just doesn't exist anymore. And you say, Pastor, I just can't believe that ever happened. Folks, it happens every day that you and I live here in these United States of America. I talked to a fellow pastor not very long ago, and he told me my whole congregation is over 55 years old. He said, we have no kids, we have no youth, we have no young people. And I said, hold it, I'm 55 and I consider myself young. Folks, we got to get out in this community, not because we don't want a church that doesn't die. It's because we have a community that we don't want to die. We've got men and women and young people out there that they are just craving somebody to come along and tell them that Jesus Christ loves them and has a plan for their life. Amen? But we all got to speak the same language. And it makes no difference if you're a youth in this church or a child in this church or a senior citizen in this church. You and I got to begin to speak the same language. We are going to reach this community in the name of Jesus Christ.